Hey, Lighthouse Niagara family, this is Pastor Joel Sloss. I hope that the message you receive today blesses you so, so much.
So in a few moments, we're going to have Hannah and Nuni all the way from Nigeria and Bill getting baptized. Like I said, three different generations. You'll be able to figure it out very quickly once they get baptized or as they're getting baptized. And to me, the thought came right away, as I recognize there is three generations, is that the God is not just a God for us older people. All right? So I can't believe I'm even saying that. I'm not that old, but I'm realizing, man, am I getting close to 60? So I still have. I know. So see, it's about how you look at it. Absolutely, that's still young. I think. The new 60, and then once again, I'm not going to be 60, it'll be 59 in another month and a half or so. But it is definitely, God is a God of every generation and of every age. And every tribe, every tongue, every nation, the God that we serve is a God that desires to have relationship and eternity with us, regardless of where we're from. And one of the things that I love about our church is that there are so many different cultures and ethnicities represented here in this place. And I just say thank you, Lord, from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Isn't that good? Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Praise God. Praise the Lord. A few weeks back, I started a series called Hope in Darkness, and even as the Lord gave me direction and outline regarding this message, I realized immediately there is absolutely no way that I can possibly finish this in one session. And so he gave me for 4 weeks, he gave me the outline and the passages and that I would be using each week. And I thank God when he does that, and he does it so regularly. And he, as we just wait upon him, as we would listen, that we'd have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying at this time. And it's not just for me as a pastor, but it is for each and every one of us as we would just wait on the Lord. And he gives a message, and he gave this message about hope in darkness. And I just want to say this. Yes, we are living in a time where as we would look around, we say, oh man, things are so dark, so wicked or evil. We see things around us. We see things being pushed. We see things blatantly coming against God, against Jesus Christ, coming against the church, if you would. But yet, in this time, I want you to know that there is a hope in darkness. And I want you to know at this time that the Lord, I've been saying this often, the Lord is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So if there's any spots or wrinkles in your life, Lord, let them be taken care of. Let them, Lord, that I would not continue on in sin, but Lord, take care of the spots and wrinkles. And it is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we have the spots taken care of. And sometimes it is only as the pressure of life and the heat of life that comes upon us that the wrinkles are straightened out. When I, this morning, these pants had to be ironed, and man, I was just scrambling this morning. Sometimes I'm scrambling. And I said, hey, Julie, can you just iron? Because, you know, you fold your pants and sometimes they're not. Anyways, there were wrinkles here. And it was with the heat and pressure. I think they're all out. So she, yeah, thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Sometimes the heat and pressure of life, as we are children of God, there's a straightening out of the wrinkles that we just say, I cannot continue on this path. And the Lord does a work of straightening. And the stains, let me just say this, the stains in our life, the stains of sin, there is nothing but the blood of Jesus that can take care of it. So we need, it says, He is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. This morning, being all you can be, and this is for those that are getting baptized this morning, to be all that you can be. Hannah, I'm not sure where Hannah's at, if she's upstairs or not. Oh, there you are. Okay. Hannah, how old are you, 10 or 9? 10? So, Hannah, to be all that you can be, to be all that you can be at your age, Lord Jesus, let me be all that I can be at my young age. Noonie, I'm just seeing where are you at? Up here. Okay, right up in the top. It'll be coming down in a few moments. All the way from Nigeria, just came to Canada with her husband, and husband, I need to meet you. Just in the last, about a month and a half ago, and to be all that you can be. To be all that you can be, Bill, to be all that you can be at this stage in your life. Lord, let your will be done in me. I give myself to you. And one of the beautiful things, the three of you are being obedient to the command that the Lord gave. As he left this planet, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I want you to be encouraged, the three of you and every generation represented here, from the youngest to the oldest, that we would be all that God would have us be. That as we follow him, he says, I will be with you right to the end of the age and right to the end of time, and I will be with you. In Hebrews, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you. Hallelujah. To be all that we can be. And it is only in and through Jesus Christ. Listen, I look at this world today, and there are people that stand out. We know them, even by name. We may not know them directly, but by name we know them because of who they are and what they're doing. I think of Elon Musk. Like this guy, I don't know, as far as I know, I don't think he had wealth to begin with. He didn't come from wealth. But this man is one of the most richest men on this planet. And some of the things that he's accomplished, you say, wow. You know what? Without Jesus, I feel sorry for Elon Musk. Elon needs Jesus. Elon needs Jesus. And I pray his faith is not in himself and his abilities and his executive organizational skills, but that his faith would be in Jesus Christ. To be all that you can be. You say, well, if I could be like Elon. I think of celebrities. So a celebrity that has spanned a number of decades. I remember back already in the 80s and 90s, a celebrity by the name of Tom Cruise, probably at the peak and pinnacle of his existence. And I think here's a person that people say, wow, Tom, what you've accomplished. Once again, I believe he didn't come from wealth or position or whatever. A self-made man. And he pushes himself, and you just think, wow. And his faith at this point, if it's not in himself, he would say, well, my religion is Scientology. Listen, if your faith is not in Jesus Christ and his finished work, it doesn't matter what we accomplish. We cannot be all that we can be. It is only in Jesus Christ. Whatever age you are at, it is in Jesus Christ that we can be all that we can be. One of the most powerful positions on the planet at this time is the position of being the President of the United States. And I, even though the man that is in that position at this point is in a position of one of the most powerful nations on this planet, I see even as time goes on that man is struggling just with his age and where he's at, his capability, his cognitive capability, and his abilities. And even in a position like that, say, I've reached what I dreamed of my entire life, to be the President of the United States. Without Jesus, the President of the United States is lost. He is lost. It says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 9. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's why the prayer, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Jesus, I give myself completely to you. I give my life to you. Those that are getting baptized this morning, they've given their life to Jesus. And I want you to know, as you have given your life to Jesus, that God wants you to be all that you can be. And you can be all that you have been called to be. Hallelujah. For what profit is it to a man, to Elon Musk, if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What profit is it to Tom Cruise if he gains the whole world and he's on the peak and is himself destroyed or lost? What profit is it to Joe Biden if he gains the whole world and he's at the top of one of the most powerful nations on this planet, if he himself is destroyed or lost? And for us, likewise, what does it profit us if we gain the whole world and we are destroyed or lost and we are apart from God for eternity? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and Jesus is coming soon, and in his Father's and of the holy angels, Jesus is coming soon, that we would not be ashamed of him. Jesus, you would be Lord of my life, that you would be all, that I can be all that you would have me be. And he said to them all, listen, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. I deny myself. I deny my efforts. And I want to encourage you, Hannah, you say, I'm just a child. What can I do? What can I do? I'm just a child. And I want you to know that as you say, Lord, it's not me, but it's you and me. So I'm giving up myself for you. I deny myself. And I'm going to take up the daily reminder of who you are and what you did for me on the cross because you love me. That's taking up the cross daily. It's a daily confession of Jesus Christ, a daily reminder, a daily faith within the heart that says, I believe in the one that died for me and rose again. That's taking up your cross daily. And you will be able to, Hannah, you will be able to overcome anything. And even as a child, you will be able to do amazing things. Bill, you might say, you know what? Yeah, I've seen better days as a younger man, but I want you to know that God still has things for you to do at this time. Hallelujah. 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 So I deny myself. I take up the cross daily is what the Lord would have us do, and I follow him. And I can follow him. The only way I can follow him is if I do the first two things. Because if I don't deny myself, Jesus might say, hey, I want you to follow me this way. And I said, no, Lord, I want to go this way. We're going in a different direction if we don't deny ourselves. Jesus, I'm submitting my will to your will. When it comes to taking up your cross daily, if I don't do that, I'm not reminded of the fact that he died for me and that he arose. He died, he was buried, but he rose on the third day, overcoming death and Hades and Satan and every principality. In his death, he overcame. Now, we would recognize that as we go through life to be all that we can be, the God that overcame death and Hades and overcame Satan and his hordes is the same God that we submit to, that will lead us and guide us and make us and form us and have us be all that we can be. Hallelujah. And we can follow him. Praise God. Whether a great celebrity, or whether a great entrepreneur, or whether the most powerful government official, there is no greater power than the power of God to help us become all we can be. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. He is worthy. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that's the power of our God, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And there's this aspect of the fact that Jesus desires to care for us and lead us to be who we need to be through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's saying, I have sealed this with giving my life that you can be all that you can be. It cost me my life by my blood, through the blood, to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And let's give him worship and praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So for every generation, for Hannah's generation, be all that you can be by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. For Noonie's generation, you young adults, you vigorous, you at the peak, I would say, of prime, Lord, let me be all that I can be. And for us that are a little bit older in age, Lord, even though as we start to feel the aches and the pains, we just say, I'm not who I was 20, 30, 40 years ago, that you would be all in me, that I can be all in and through you. Hallelujah. That he would make us complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What starts us to be all that we can be? You know what? We need to be saved. You might say, saved from what? We need to be saved from self. Man, and we're in charge. Listen, if God's not part of your life, most likely you're in charge. You're in charge. How you doing? How do we do when we're in charge? You know, once again, I think the most brutal deception that the enemy can ever play on somebody would be on a person like Tom Cruise, or Elon Musk, or Joe Biden, to have achieved pretty well everything. To be, man, did I have an unbelievable life, supposedly, and I don't make it in the end. What a deception. To have everything and not make it in the end. We need to be saved from self. We need to be saved from sin. How many sins? One sin separates us from God. And we need to be saved from the fact that without Jesus Christ, we are separated from God for all eternity. And we need salvation that we would be in his presence. So from self and self-reliance, from sin and from separation, we need salvation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. These two passages are surrounded by beautiful promises. In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But if we start reading from verse 20, it says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You were not righteous. You were not in right standing with God. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? What was the outcome of the things that now you look back and say, man, I'm ashamed of the things that I thought were great apart from God? For the end of those things is death. Tom, if he doesn't make a change, his end is death. That death is not physical. It is a spiritual death. He will be apart from God for all eternity. Pray for Tom. Pray for Elon. Pray for Joe. For the scripture says, or let me just back up a bit. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end outcome of this, everlasting life. To be free from sin, to be set free, I am free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we have life now on this side of heaven, and we have life for eternity with him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what saved you, Hannah? Noonie? Bill? And each and every one of us, what saves us? There is a confession that we make. We repent, we recognize our sin, and we turn to Jesus Christ, because repentance is not enough. If I repent, I become a very good person. But if I don't turn to Jesus and believe on him, I fall short because I'm not good enough. I am not good enough. So when you came to Jesus, when the work began on you to change you, and it changed, and it came in an instant, in a moment of time, where the change began. It began as a result of the confession of your mouth and the faith that you believed. It was as you confessed and as you believed. What did you confess? What did you believe? Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me read it again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is a recognition of the fact that he died for you. He was brought to the place of the cross. He was tortured beforehand. He was whipped. He was beaten. And he was crucified. And the blood flowed. And the blood flowed from his body. From every part of his, most of his body, there was blood flowing from it. As he was whipped with a cat of nine tails, 39 lashes. To the brink of death, his back torn brutally, and the blood began to flow. Even as before, they laid a crown of thorns on his head, and they beat it on his head, and the blood flowed, and the blood flowed. And even as he was nailed to the cross, even as his hands and his feet, the nails went through his hands and his feet, the blood flowed. The blood flowed, the sacrifice for us, that we would confess and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. He did not just die or be crucified, but he died for you and for I. He died. He took all our sins upon himself. While he was hanging on the cross at 12 o'clock, it became like dark. And I believe that was as the sin of mankind from all time, from the beginning, from Adam all the way to the last person that would be created. All of sin put on him in a moment of time. And he bore it. And his father turned, and Jesus cried out, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the father just turned away, looked away from his son, who became sin for us and the sacrifice for sin for us, as all the filth of mankind, my filth, your filth, my shame, your shame, was placed upon him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that he died for us and he rose again, we are saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me read it again. With the heart one believes. So I believe unto righteousness, to be in right standing with God as I believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for me. And with my mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jesus, I am a sinner, but you died for me. And I believe it. I believe it. Be a part of my life. There was a confession with your mouth, and you believed it in your heart. In that moment, you were saved. Hallelujah. For there is no distinction. Or for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Even as you say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hannah, Noonie, Bill, that is what has saved you. That is what has saved you, your confession, your faith, and the moment you believed, and the moment the power of God started a work of salvation, you can know this and be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a work that has been begun in you to be all that you can be, and it's the Lord that is saying, I want you to be all that I've called you to be. And so, Lord, I surrender. You want to have changes take place fast in your life? Lord, I surrender to you, Jesus. Be Lord in my life. You increase in my life. Let me decrease. Hallelujah. That's our confession, our faith began a thing within us of change. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. And this is written by one of the most fearful men that was lived on the planet. This is written and inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, through this man who was one of the most fearful men on the planet after Jesus left the planet. The early church was afraid of him because he persecuted the early church. And yet, this man that saw people put to death, and the church was afraid of him, yet God was able to save him to be all that God would have him be by the grace and mercy of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. This is Paul writing. His name was Saul, and God changed his name to Paul. You know what Paul means? Paul means small. Lord, that I would decrease. Paul means small. Lord, that I would be under your authority, you would increase my life, that I would decrease. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I was responsible for Stephen being stoned to death. We read of it in Acts. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The grace of God to allow me to be all I can be. I am what I am in Christ Jesus. The things that Paul, he wrote half the books in the New Testament, letters to us that we read 2,000 years later, and I just say, thank you, Lord, for the revelation of who you are in Paul. He could be all that he could be. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Lord, let me be what you want me to be. Let me be what you want me to be, regardless of what age I'm at, whether I'm a child, whether I'm a young adult, or whether I'm an older adult. Let me be who you would have me be at this time. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. Read Psalm 139. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single one of you was made by God. You were created by God to exist. And God is saying, I want you to allow me to be a part of your life. I'm calling you. I've chosen you and I'm calling you. And I want you to be a part of my eternity. I've made you wonderfully. I've made you fearfully. I'll tell you, if you don't think that you're something, it's because of Satan. And even as you examine yourself, you recognize, yeah, I fall far short. But God sees you in a different way. And by his grace, that you would be all that you can be, regardless of your past. You were made in the image of God. God said, in the very first chapter, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, a summary of what he was speaking into existence, and even when it came to forming man with his own hands, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, and he created them. We were made in the image of God, and we have free will. Lord, that your will would be done in my life, that I can be all that you would have me be. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me read it again. You are God's workmanship, and you were created in Christ Jesus for amazing things. He created you for amazing things. And they were prepared beforehand, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. They would be who we are in our lives, in our existence. Lord, let me be what you created me to be. It is good. In Genesis chapter 1, again and again and again, God says, and it was good. The scriptures say, and it was good. And it was good as he created. And he created you and with him and before him. And as you surrender to him and your faith is in him, it is good. And even as you would be saved and washed, you stand before God in righteousness. And the Father is pleased with his sons and his daughters as they've received Christ into their lives. Hallelujah. We can read of that, the first three chapters of Ephesians, the first two chapters of Colossians, especially Ephesians, talk about who we are in Christ. Read it. In fact, my take on it by verse 14 or 15, that the rest of chapter 1, all of chapter 2, and chapter 3 are all one long prayer of who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might say, Pastor, I don't know if I can make it. And I want you to know, if you want to flourish, to be all you can be in Christ, that what saved you at the beginning would be the same thing that saves you today and tomorrow and the next day, because it is. What saved you? Let me read again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You were saved. I was saved more than 50 years ago. I was saved 50 years ago. There was a confession with my mouth, and there was a believing in my little heart, 7 years of age. And the Lord has kept me. That is where my faith, that is where our faith needs to be. And that needs to be a confession. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Never. So today, you want to say, how can I flourish? How can I be all that I can be? 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 says, this is a faithful saying. Listen. This is a faithful saying. Paul writing to the pastor, the young pastor, Timothy. This is the saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him every day. That's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ every day. Lord, I recall, I remember, and I confess that you died for me, and I'm crucified with you. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. So with that confession, daily, by faith, I believe that I will live with you. In fact, it is only there that we begin to flourish. Begin to flourish in him with that confession of faith. If we endure in dying with him daily, that's where Jesus says, take up the cross daily. So daily I take up the cross. If we endure in this, we shall also reign with him. The Lord says, hey, come on, I have things for you to do. Come here. Sit on the throne with me and let's do the things that I've called you to do. Hallelujah. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We say, Lord, no, I want nothing to do with you. Lord says, I don't want this, but I'm going to let you go according to your will. But look what it says. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. The moment we place our trust in Jesus, the moment we would turn back to him, is the moment that he says, hey, I was waiting for you. I was looking for you. Just like the prodigal son leaving and the father stood and he was waiting every day looking. Come home, come home. He remains faithful. We may turn away from him, but the moment we turn back, he remains faithful. And he says, I love you. Come here. Come here. Let's do the things that I've called you to do. He loves you beyond all you can imagine. And he desires to make you all that you can be. Hallelujah.
Hey, Lighthouse family. Thanks so much for tuning in to another one of our podcast sermons. I'm Pastor Joel Sloss. For more podcasts, media, and live stream services at lighthouseniagara.com, Sundays at 10 o'clock. God bless.